This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from above Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We're going to get your phone calls in on the Masters in just a couple of minutes here at 888-SAY-ESPN. The conversation about Scottie Scheffler's dominance. Could he potentially win all four this year? Is he as good as it's been made out to be? He was the favorite all week long and actually backed it up all weekend. But Nuno and others, it's not just Nuno, our producer, others are saying, well, the field is altered. I think that's it's lessened, altered, however you want to look at it, as the LIV guys are not playing 72 holes every single week. They're not playing the same tournaments that he's playing. His dominance may be altered a little bit by the lack of competition in some cases, not yesterday and not this weekend, with some of the other LIV guys. NBA playoffs set. We're going to have them for you on ESPN television on Wednesday, ESPN radio, obviously, all throughout the postseason. Is it crazy to think that the six top seeds, 1, 2, and 3 in both conferences, that we could see all of them lose, some of them lose? Is that ridiculous considering who the play-in teams are?
Yeah.
I don't see Denver losing.
I don't either. Yeah, that's the one.
Even if they have the Lakers.
It doesn't matter.
And this is from a Lakers fan.
It doesn't matter.
T-Wolves fan. Your T-Wolves, that is a big one for you.
What's up?
You've been hyping the T-Wolves all year, and you've been anti-Suns all year.
Who will I be more disappointed in an early exit? I would be more disappointed in the T-Wolves than the Lakers because I don't have expectations for the Lakers. Like, this is not the same team that they were a year ago. They're not just going to flip a switch and turn it on and go on a run to the conference finals. It's not going to happen like that, especially with the reigning defending champs waiting for them if they were to win the 7-8 play-in game. I don't have any illusions about what the Lakers are this year. They've got to add more in order to compete with the upper echelon in the West.
So let's do it this way. Give me the most likely top three seed to lose in the first round. Let me play it out for everybody. So Boston in the Eastern Conference will play one of Philly, Miami, Atlanta, Chicago. The Knicks will play one of Philly or Miami. And we know the Bucks will play Indiana. In the West, we've got the number one seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. They're going to play one of New Orleans, Los Angeles. That's the Lakers, Golden State, and Sacramento. We know that Denver is going to play the winner of the Lakers and Pelicans, and Minnesota is playing Phoenix. So of those top six, the most likely upset comes in where?
Indiana, Milwaukee.
Both of you are going there.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Even if Philly beats Miami and they play against the Knicks.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
All right, tell me why.
Well, we don't know if Giannis is going to be healthy, the calf injury. But then even if he's out there, this has been a team that struggled. And they're 1-4 against the Pacers this season when you consider their matchups in the play-in tournament as well. So, yeah, I just don't have a lot of evidence that they're going to be able to stop the Indiana Pacers. And we know they play at a breakneck pace when it comes to the offensive side of the ball. I mean, they get that thing on the other end, whether it's a defensive rebound or they're taking it out under the basket, and they are rolling. And Milwaukee defensively has been suspect, to say the least. And then you throw in a Giannis Antetokounmpo that's compromised from a health standpoint with the calf injury. I can't have any confidence that Milwaukee is going to be able to get out of the first round.
I am right there with you, CeCe. I would not be surprised at all if Milwaukee has an early exit. Everything you just said, Giannis and the health, the fact that Indiana has played them so well this season, the defensive questions that are still there. And we're just weeks removed, guys, from Doc Rivers talking about the team not treating road games with the professionalism that's needed. I just don't really have anything I can point to down the stretch that Milwaukee has working for them or that would allow me to think that they could be dominant and go on a really deep postseason run. I just wouldn't be surprised at all if they are knocked out early.
Championship pedigree, been there, done that, doesn't matter to you?
But I don't know what version of Giannis I'm going to get. That's why I have so much confidence in Denver, because of Jokic, because I saw it last year and he's playing up to that level. What version are we going to get of Giannis? If I can't answer that question, I can't rely on the past.
And you guys give the Lakers no shot.
No shot.
I don't want to say no shot because it's LeBron, because it's AD, but I would be stunned if they beat Denver.
All right, let me spin it differently with the Lakers.
What's up?
Is there a benefit to losing the play-in game and then having a winner go home game against the winner of Sacramento and Golden State, where if they win, they get Oklahoma City less battle-tested in the first round as the 8th seed versus the 7th seed?
They got a better chance. If it's OKC and not Denver, they got a better chance just because of the lack of experience. I mean, Oklahoma City Thunder, they're what, 2 years removed from losing 60 games?
They went from the number 2 pick to the number 1 seed in 2 years.
Yeah, they're 2 years removed from losing 60 games. So, yeah, I think it makes sense that you would try to get a matchup against those people as opposed to what you're dealing with right now with the Denver Nuggets. So if you're the Lakers, that would be better, but I don't know that you have the luxury of being able to choose your own adventure because it's single elimination and anything can happen in a one-game playoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's so scary.
It's a risk.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got to take advantage of them. I mean, you got two opportunities to win one game, but you don't want to give one of those opportunities away just because you don't want to deal with Denver.
Because you're eventually probably going to have to deal with them anyway. It's likely going to be a collision course inevitably, right? So why would you avoid that? I would rather advance, not have to put it up to chance.
Yeah.
And roll the dice.
I think what's going to be very interesting is what happens with 4-5 Dallas and the Clippers, because I think a lot of people are going to assume the winner of that series is going to go to the conference finals.
Yes.
And maybe not outside of their first round even be that battle-tested going into the conference finals.
I would agree with the people.
I
would agree with the people. That like whoever wins that series between the Mavs and the Clippers is probably going to beat the winner of OKC and whoever they play in the eighth seed to get to the conference finals.
Conversely,
I don't know that there's a tandem in basketball that's playing better than Kyrie and Luka. Not one. I mean, even Jamal Murray and Jokic, it doesn't matter. Like, Tatum and Brown, I mean, you name it, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't think there's a tandem in basketball playing better than Luka and Kyrie. I mean, if Luka, and Tim Legler said this a few weeks ago, but if Luka had another 2 weeks of the regular season, you're probably talking about him being the MVP.
Yeah, and that's a whole different conversation also about the MVP now, because I've been saying all year, number one in the West should get the MVP. But am I going to say Shea over Jokic? I don't think I can do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that the Thunder have the tiebreaker over the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
I still go Jokic.
Yeah, the tie goes to Jokic, right? Because he's the reigning defending champ and he's the best player in the world. I don't think there's any debate about those things.
So let's play out one other thing. Who do you think wins Philly, Miami?
Philly.
Okay.
Philly.
So then who do you think wins Miami against the winner of the Bulls and the Hawks?
Miami.
So then Boston would play Miami in the first round.
Yeah.
Assuming they get out of that, which will not be easy, but I think that they will probably win that series. They get the winner of Cleveland and Orlando in the next round.
Yeah.
Boston should sweep the second round.
Yeah.
Boston theoretically should lose one game max going into the conference finals based on what they've done this year.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that's going to happen that way, but based on what they've done this year, one game max.
That's the expectation.
Yeah. And they're 64-18. They finished 14 games better than the 2 seed. Think about that. 14 games better.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to take it a step further because I'm with you with the first 2 rounds with Boston. But if they play anybody other than the 76ers at full strength in the conference finals, this should be a cakewalk for them to the NBA finals.
Mm-hmm.
Define cakewalk. How many losses total?
I would say maybe 2-3 losses. I'll give them a loss per round. Like, it should be gentleman sweep, gentleman sweep, gentleman sweep to the NBA finals. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
Look at the Eastern Conference. There's nobody that's really whole in the Eastern Conference. And the teams that are whole, you have serious questions about, right?
And Miami, by the way, that's who they play. They're without their starting point guard, shooting guard, and their backup five right now.
Okay, so there's that. The Indiana Pacers are, you know, happy to be here. They're just arriving.
Yeah.
I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis has got to deal with the calf injury. Mm-hmm. The Orlando Magic, this is an upstart group. They're very, very young.
Yep.
The Cavs' best player doesn't want to be there in Donovan Mitchell. I mean, like if you're the Knicks don't have Julius Randle. Like if you're the Boston Celtics, if you play anybody other than the 76ers in the conference finals, it should be a cakewalk to the NBA finals.
No doubt. There's more pressure on the Boston Celtics this year to win a title
than any other team. No question.
It's not even close. There's nobody close to Boston. Because we've gone through the exercise. If you take in any sport your two best players and your head coach, and if you don't win a title, how many teams will have two of the three changed? Literally no one other than Boston. Jaylen Brown and Joe Mazzulla may not be there next year if they don't win a title or get to the finals this year. You cannot find any team in any sport where their two best players and head coach could be removed from that title contending situation if they don't win it all or get close to winning it all. Right? Think about in the NFL. Josh Allen and McDermott, they ain't both going.
No.
Lamar and John Harbaugh aren't going anywhere.
No.
Right? I mean, obviously the Chiefs aren't going anywhere. Of that level of contender, it's unbelievable. Steve in Kansas, watching on ESPN2, wants to chime in on the Masters, as we've been discussing. Scottie Scheffler, that's English there, winning yesterday.
Yeah, guys, great discussion this morning. Okay, I'm gonna go hot take of the morning here. If you drill down on the stats, the Grand Slam is definitely in play. Scotty is better than Tiger at his peak in greens of regulation, the money stat. He is better than Tiger ever was. And Candy made a great point. This guy gets his putting together, and we may see something we've never seen in a hundred years. And he's also beating guys that are fresh from LIV. Those guys aren't playing. Scotty was worn down. Scotty was worn down this last month, and he's still lapping the field. I mean, this is going to be one of the greatest stories potentially in the history of sports if he doesn't get derailed by, like you had mentioned, by the baby lead. So just kind of put that in the back of your mind when we're watching greatness unfold at an unbelievable level. Potentially speaking, I mean, the fact that they're playing LIV actually adds to his resume.
Yeah, you could spin it. You could spin it that way. But I mean, CeCe, you made some pretty bold statements there, saying,
"Yeah, I'm not going to say that Scottie Scheffler is better than prime Tiger Woods. I just can't take it there.
I don't think we could go there. With
yeah,
anybody.
I don't take it there. Like he's outstanding. Now, in some individual statistics, he might be. But in terms of overall greatness, overall impact on the game of golf, and just being able to be the dominant force in golf and having that gravitational pull on Sunday where he's wearing a red polo, I don't think Scottie Scheffler's there quite yet. We are just talking about his second major win. Yeah. He's got more work to do before we're willing to assign that level of greatness to him.
But the fact that he has the opportunity to capture that greatness, I think, is what the caller was getting at, and that's really important. I mean, I was reading about it, and he hasn't scored over par in a round since last August. He has just been absolutely dominant, absolutely phenomenal, and continuing to get these big tournament wins, knock out another major, that just enhances his confidence. I don't know, guys. I just think that he really could be on the precipice of doing something amazing. I don't really see anybody close to him right now.
It feels Tiger-ish is what I would say. Just in terms of the amount of anticipation that, of course he's going to win, and he actually does, that feels different than anyone else, regardless of how well they've been playing. Brooks Koepka, anybody else that had been played really well, it just feels a little bit different.
I'm just saying, Tiger Woods in 2000 had 9 wins, including the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by 15 strokes and the Open at St. Andrews.
Well, and Tiger also
by 15 damn strokes.
He also did this for a decade.
That is stupid.
Insane.
He played this way for
it's
a decade. Insane. It's a little bit
like, let's just pump the brakes on that one just a little
bit. I agree. 888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the conversation. You know, there's another conversation. You know, when you go to a business trip, and you go to a hotel, and you're ready to work out, and the hotel doesn't have a gym. Oh, what a disaster. So you know what ends up happening? You do a few push-ups, you sit-ups in your room, you run around the block, or just skip it entirely. It's lame. It's awful. If you just stay at the La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every single location. Regardless of where you are across the United States of America, you know if you book La Quinta by Wyndham and you want to work out in the morning, in the afternoon, whatever it may be, they have a fully equipped gym for you. You can wake up, power your buys and tries the right way, or de-stress with some cardio. Choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it can be covered at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because it probably can be. Jeremy Fowler is here, ESPN NFL reporter. Big weekend for wide receivers, and I'm not talking about Juju Smith-Schuster. Anyway, so a big weekend with T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk. What's the truth behind both of these guys and all the rumors that went out this weekend?
Well, T. Higgins spoke at his camp in the Cincinnati area, said he anticipates playing with the Bengals. I don't think he has much of a choice, because I know the Bengals had made clear behind the scenes that they don't plan to trade him. So it's like, he requested the trade, but how far can you really go with that? Now, he's on the franchise tag, has not signed that tag. He can wait a long time to sign it. It might be a situation where he shows up in late August, right? He makes this difficult, doesn't sign that tag for a while. So there'll be that song and dance. But I do expect the Bengals want him and Ja'Marr Chase on the outside to make another run at it in the Super Bowl. Brandon Ayuk, his agent has shot down any reports about a trade request. But it's a situation where he needs a contract, wants a new contract. Will the 49ers oblige and give him one? If they don't, then this isn't really going to get very pretty. You know, it's going to get more ugly as we go on, so.
Jeremy, this draft is all about the quarterbacks at the top. There are three elite quarterback prospects, but there was the other guy that is widely considered the fourth best prospect, J.J. McCarthy, who was in the New England area yesterday and today visiting with the Patriots. Is this a scenario where the Patriots would actually entertain taking McCarthy at three, or would they be more likely to trade out of that spot?
Well, I think they would entertain it, and it's in the mix. The wind seems to be blowing toward Jaden Daniels at number two. That, most teams I talk to believe that he's the most viable option for Washington. You know, again, it's the draft, right? But anything could happen. But that's sort of the feeling right now. So that leaves them Drake May, J.J. McCarthy. I do believe that they're zeroed in on a quarterback. You know, we'll see. Do they go the Marvin Harrison route? They could. But I think at the end of the day, it's such a need for them. And they know they're rarely going to get this kind of shot at number three overall. I think, based on asking around, that May would have the edge there. And most teams I talk to believe that he would probably be the guy. But McCarthy has grown in this process. Like, the smoke is real as far as, you know, I've talked to several teams who think he'll be a top six pick. Now, you have other teams that don't think he's a first-round talent, or at least scouts. Like, it's a big variance for McCarthy. He's the most polarizing and fascinating prospect of this entire draft.
If there was a team that was going to jump up and get J.J. McCarthy, which team do you have your money on?
If I had a guess right now, I would say Minnesota. More of a prediction than something hard and fast, but you know, Minnesota's been calling. I mean, they've been calling in the top 10 to see what it would take, at least putting out their feelers and kind of gauging the market. Now, they have that 23rd overall pick, too, that they acquired from Houston. I don't think they want to give that up. I think in a perfect world, if they could package, say, some day two picks or picks down the road with their 11th overall to get up there, or what are they? They're 11, right?
11 and 23.
So it's going to be complicated to do that. It's a pretty big jump without having to give up a second first rounder. So those are the mechanics kind of taking place. But I do expect them to come away with a quarterback. If it's not McCarthy, then somebody in the second round. But, you know, McCarthy would be a good fit for what they would want to do.
We're talking with ESPN NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Let me combine two of the things you just discussed. J.J. McCarthy, you said most likely top six, and then Minnesota the most likely to move up. Is there any chance, situationally, not, you don't want to replicate the player in Mac Jones, but is it situationally Minnesota just waits like New England did for someone at 11? Like, they wouldn't have to trade up?
Yes, and that's the thing with McCarthy. So some teams are predicting top six, top five or six, but, you know, like, could he slide to 10, 11? I could see that too. So especially with it really depends on how the team feels about him and the variance of how high or low they are on that player. Minnesota values draft picks greatly, you know, and they're very analytically based. Like, they're just not going to give up a ton unless they're absolutely convinced on the player. So I could see them being a
little
patient.
So they may not trade up then. They may just sit there at 11 and 23. Because that would surprise all of us, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, they called their shot when they made that Houston trade and got that second first rounder. But that implies that they're going to make that move, but nothing's been solidified. So it would have to just be a deal that makes sense. Here's the thing, though. You got Arizona at number four. Most teams I talk to, even picking in the top 10, think that Arizona is going to really try to get out of that spot. So they're open for business, and the Chargers at five might be too. So there's enough interest, enough mutual parties engaged that I could see a trade happening because of the motivated parties.
Jeremy, we see this all the time. There is one team that overwhelmingly influences what we see in the first round of the NFL draft. Last year was the Houston Texans. Remember, they had the second pick, but then they traded back to get the third pick.
Yeah.
And then they ended up getting C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. The year before that, we saw what happened with the San Francisco 49ers and Trey Lance. So I'm just curious, who is going to be that team this year that dictates what the first round is going to look like?
Well, I'm looking at your sweatshirt. I mean, the Giants. Well, I mentioned Arizona at four. I think there'll be a pivot point. Giants at six, major pivot point. Now, they can sit tight and get a top three player in the entire draft possibly because the quarterbacks get moved up, right? So if quarterbacks go one, two, and three, Giants are guaranteed at least a skill position guy or like a Malik Nabers or Marvin Harrison Jr., like somebody that would instantly change their offense. But I just think with Joe Shane, the GM, and the way he moves, they are looking at all options. I'm pretty convinced that they're looking at not only potentially moving up, but potentially moving back as well. They gave up that second-round pick in that Brian Burns trade. They would love to get that back if they could, too. Mm-hmm. This is a team that has a lot of needs, wants to fill them, needs draft capital to do so. So I don't think it's quarterback or bust for them. They've looked hard at it. Like other teams I've talked to have said, they've been looking at quarterbacks hard, even dating back to the 23 season. In season, looking at a lot of these guys in college stadiums. So, like, they've done a lot of work, maybe more so than most. So, quarterback wouldn't shock, but, like, I really think anything's on the table for them, and I think there'll be movers and shakers on draft day.
Jeremy, we talked about J.J. McCarthy and the variance there with his draft evaluations. It feels like Michael Penix Jr. is in that same boat.
Yeah.
Where are you as far as how people are viewing him? Do you think he's a first-round guy, could fall to the second round? What are you hearing around the league?
So the way I would put it is I talked to two different teams who pick like fairly early in the second round and I asked them, do you think Penix is going to be there when you pick? And they said no. They think that he'll be late first, early second. Now, a lot of that depends on the medical, right? He's had a lot of issues where teams have to be comfortable with it, and that might vary by team. But most teams I talked to believe that that's not going to sink his stock or anything. Like it's something you can manage. You have to have a plan for because of all the history there. But – you know, he's, I would say, if you talk to 20 teams, he gets the edge as the number five quarterback right now, slightly above Bo Nix. Mm. And, like, so if you're a team picking in late first, let's say, and, you know, you want to make sure you get a quarterback under contractual control for 5 years, right? With the first round pick, you get the fifth year option and then the franchise tag if you need it. So that's helpful. So a team might jump back into the late first and get a player like that. Like, I could see that. I mean, look at the Raiders, right? They're picking at 13. It'd be really hard to get up to get Jaden Daniels, who Antonio Pierce would love to have.
Yeah.
But they can't do that. Then maybe you package later picks to get back into the 20s somewhere, you know, or like in the 30s and try to take Penix there.
Jeremy, let's finish with this quickly. We got about 30 seconds. We love reckless speculation on our show. We will not hold you to this. Is there a name we should keep an eye on before the draft that could get traded by draft night or around draft night?
Ooh, like a veteran player?
Yeah, that's currently on a team, i.e. Steph Diggs, that kind of thing.
Ah, let's see. I'm trying to think.
Let's throw out the one with the Broncos that we like. Pat Surtain. Could he get moved?
No. I think Cortland Sutton would be more likely than Pat Surtain. I put it that way. I could see these receivers, man, because you got to pay them.
Yeah.
And some teams don't want to pay them. So I could see a Brandon Ayuk. Maybe I don't think the 49ers want to do that, but on the spot, I would say, like, I could see some action there. T. Higgins, I don't think they want to trade him, but like if you make a crazy offer for a T. Higgins, let's put a receiver on the board.
Got it.
Let me ask you a question. A team like the Buffalo Bills, who are in the receiver market based on what they did, could they be trading for a veteran receiver as opposed to drafting one?
I think they're scouring the earth for receivers. So that could be in the draft. I mean, I wouldn't even take it off the table for them to try to get Roma Dunze in the top 10 or 12. Like, Do I think they're going to do that? No, but I think they're looking at all possibilities at that position.
I think Jeremy Fowler just tipped his hand on something. When CeCe asked about the Bills, he went to his phone as if, wait, Brandon Bean is calling me right now. I don't know. We're talking about reckless speculation. We just did that with Fowler. You'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern.
Reckless speculation.
Upon further review next, we're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
I mean, we were going to do Upon Further Review, but when this guy shows up, everything changes.
Oh, for sure.
I like it, man. I like the open. I heard it this time.
America's analyst Tim Legler is here. All right, just go. Go right into what you said when you walked in about the New York Knicks. Just go,
Legler. It's just funny how much they put in to winning these games in overtime, last game of the year. Thank you, the two, and now we probably are going to play Philadelphia,
which is not
a good thing.
You don't love that mentality that they're not afraid of anybody and that they want to win?
They're not. Yeah, I hear you, but they're not on that level that you can just say, oh, we don't care who we play. The Knicks should care who they play. they don't have Julius Randle. I mean, that's a big deal. I just think, look, Philadelphia to me, I've been on record as saying, I think Philadelphia represents the biggest threat in the Eastern Conference to the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. You know, Philadelphia's got to beat Miami first before this matchup would happen. But, look, obviously the mentality to go out and just win games and see what happens is probably the proper one. I'm just saying it's unfortunate the way it played out, potentially, if they get the Sixers in the first round.
But, Tim, when we're breaking out these playoff series, we're looking at the best player and the best coach in the matchups, right? And when you look at the Knicks' potential matchup with the Sixers, based on the health situation with Joel Embiid, is it crazy to think that the Knicks might have the edge there?
Well, I don't think there's really a health issue with Joel. I think Joel Embiid is fresh. He gave.
So you take about there were precautionary reasons why they sat him this weekend?
100%. Okay. I think Joel Embiid's fine. I think he's going to be fresh. I mean, he missed all that time. His legs feel great right now. So that, to me, represents like the biggest problem, the bigger of the two problems. Is it defending Embiid? Is it dealing with Jalen Brunson? You know, Embiid is more unique in the way that he can attack your front line than the way he dominates games.
Nobody has been able to stop Brunson, though.
No,
nobody has stopped
Brunson. Hey, I got asked a question last night. I think we might talk about it on Get Up or somewhere this morning. First Take, maybe. Who would you take? How many players in the Eastern Conference would you take ahead of Jalen Brunson?
Oh, good question.
And I started to – you think off the top of your head you're probably going to come up with 3, 4, 5 names or something like that. And you start writing them down. You really start thinking about it. The only one that I came up with 100% definitively is Giannis. Beyond Giannis, it's debatable because of Embiid's injury history, because Jason Tatum, I think when you look at Tatum and, like, you know, his postseason performance that he had a couple years ago, I think there's questions there. Yeah. I think Jalen Brunson, you can make a real argument, could be number two in the Eastern Conference of all players. So you're right. Look, they both are going to have to deal with an elite-level player, Philly and the Knicks, if it gets that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves because they have to beat Miami first before this even happens. I just think playing Philly, the way they looked at the end of the year when Embiid came back, to me, that represents the biggest problem.
Yeah, I mean, if we're factoring in defense, there are players that I would take over Jalen Brunson. Like, it is a two-way sport. It's not just offense. And he's an amazing offensive player. But, I mean, we have to factor in defense a little bit.
Name him.
And Jimmy Butler in a playoff series is better than Jalen
Brunson. I'm not taking Jimmy Butler over Jalen Brunson. Absolutely not.
In a 7-game series?
No, absolutely not.
No.
No. I'm telling you, Jalen Brunson.
I'm not saying he's not great, but he has to play defense.
Listen, Jalen Brunson has proven to me now, you're not going to limit Jalen Brunson in a 7-game series. He might have an off shooting night, maybe one in a series. The way he plays, he's not reliant on certain shots that can bail out a defense. That's what I love about Jalen Brunson. He gets what he wants when he wants it. And I'm convinced that that's going to continue to happen game after game in the postseason. Doesn't mean their team is going to be good enough to make a deep run, but Jalen Brunson is not going to be affected by this.
I have a weird feeling that this is going to be, at least in the Eastern Conference, the postseason of Tyrese Maxey. I think he's going to have his coming out party. I think he's going to be a megastar by the end of this postseason.
Well, certainly for Joel Embiid, I hope you're right, because I do believe that Joel Embiid is more confident – in this co-star than any he's played with in Philadelphia, without question. He's more confident in him than Ben Simmons, than James Harden, than anybody he's had next to him in the postseason. He's more confident in Tyrese Maxey than any of those guys. And that's a big deal because Embiid is susceptible to body language issues sometimes when he gets defeated, and that affects their entire team. Maxey will uplift him, not bring him down, and that's what he's had in the past.
Legs, all right, we're talking with Tim Legler, America's analyst here on Sportsmanlike. I don't remember a year where the top six seeds, three in the East, three in the West, where I could see all six of them losing in the first round.
Yeah, no, it's definitely possible. We're going to have that. We're going to have it. Now, you never know. You could be wrong. So a lot of these could go seven games, and then you win a game at home, maybe in a game seven.
Yeah.
But you're not going to convince me right now that the Pacers couldn't beat Milwaukee with Giannis.
Right.
Healthy. I think Indiana could beat them potentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Orlando, Cleveland, I don't even know if 4-5s are even considered an upset, really. I mean, if you look at it, right? Yeah. But look, I think Dallas is going to beat the Clippers in a 5-4. I think Orlando, I'm going to pick them to beat the Bucks. Philadelphia could win as a 7 seed. And then, the West is a little bit more interesting. We got to see what happens there and who comes out of the play-in.
I want to go back to the Celtics for a second because you said you still have some questions about Jason Tatum, but they've been dominant this year.
Yeah.
So where do you fall with the Boston Celtics? Because we just kind of outlined some of the paths for them, and it seems like we should absolutely pencil them into the NBA Finals.
No, I would be shocked. That's the one series, whoever they play, all three rounds in the East, that I'm going to be shocked if they lose any of those series. I will be shocked legitimately because they are head and shoulders the best team in the East as a 14, 15 game lead in Eastern Conference shows. Here's the thing about Tatum. He's got to answer the bell to a certain extent, but he also has greater margin for error than he's ever had because there are times, a lot of times, when Jaylen Brown has been their best player over the last couple of months. And then you add in Porzingis and Holiday and Derek White, right? So you just look at the totality of their starters, the versatility, the way that they can beat you on both ends of the floor. I mean, that's clearly the best team. It's going to take something, somebody maybe getting hurt or somebody just absolutely, one of their top two stars, completely struggling for an entire series where they shoot 35% from the field to give other teams, I think, an opportunity to beat them because they just have too many answers. The only other thing about them, I'm going to be watching, the way that they just rack up threes. I mean, they shoot threes at such a rate that they allow you to stay in games sometimes if you hit a cold stretch in a game. But then they get serious about it, time out, they come out of it, and it's 3-4 straight dribble drives, and they get to the rim. They usually get themselves back on track, but that will allow them to be in precarious situations within games, taking 40, 45, 50 threes they've taken on nights. So they do that, I think they're making themselves easier to guard.
Tim, you mentioned the Clippers and the Mavs, the 4-5 matchup in the Western Conference. Is it crazy to think the winner of that series is going to the conference finals?
No, not at all, especially now that Denver, that was such a break for either of those teams that you don't get Denver in the next round. Because I've been hyping Dallas now for a while, and I just kept saying, as long as you avoid Denver, as long as you avoid Denver. And it looked like they were on a collision course. I'm shocked as we sit here right now that Denver did not end up as the one seed in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
That's
San Antonio on Friday night.
That's
something to say about it.
They have absolutely the ultimate break for that 4-5 series. Very, very likely, because you think about who you're going to get after that. First of all, Oklahoma City is going to have a tough series in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are going to, assuming Kawhi Leonard looks fine and all that, whoever wins that series is probably going to be favored to beat Oklahoma City in the next round.
Legs, is there a team that if they lose in the first round, blows it up in the offseason? This is the last that we know of this team? Or the play-in?
Top of my head, I don't know that anybody's in that category. See, that's the thing that's going to be the popular discussion is blow up the Warriors. And it's just, when you really look at it and start looking at it on paper and moving chess pieces, it's a lot harder said than done to just go trade those guys, whatever you're going to do, blow it up, obviously keeping Curry, right?
Yeah.
The way Curry looks, it's incumbent upon you to try to put a competitive team next to him. How are you going to get back pieces that are young enough, that are good enough to go alongside Curry to keep you competitive? So it's an easy thing to say, much harder thing to accomplish with players like Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kuminga, Moody, whoever you want to throw into the mix. I just think that's going to be a lot harder to pull off.
America's analyst, Tim Legler. If you want anything on the Bulls and the Hawks, he's going to break it down all day.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Magic Cavs, I'm your guy.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, Pat Costello, our producer, gives us items around sports, entertainment, the world that he's over. We are Unsportsmanlike, this segment, but not Pat, not I'm over it. Brought to you by Beacon, the Beacon Pro Plus app helps roofers get things done from anywhere. Beacon, always building. I had to be clear, Pat still does not have a sponsorship
deal. He's still open for business?
Yeah, Beacon in general, we love that they're a part of it, just not with Pat specifically.
Got it.
Pat, over to you.
Open for anything. Scotty Scheffler's great, but Scotty Scheffler is boring. Like, when you go out there and say something like, this is fourth most important thing to me, it's fine if you feel that way, but while Tiger Woods is out there with his body being held together with, like, paper mache, bubble gum, and duct tape, and he comes off the course and is like, I'm getting ready for the PGA Championship, like, I'm going to go to Valhalla and I'm going to try to win, that's why people love him, and that's why people are not on board with Scottie Scheffler yet.
No, people love Tiger because he was dominant, not because he...
It's the mentality.
I think the results are the reason that people love Tiger. And Scottie Scheffler is on that path. I don't know if he'll be able to match Tiger Woods, obviously.
Oh, let me go out and say he's not going to be able to match Tiger Woods. He's not.
Yeah, but the results are there with Scottie Scheffler. I love this mentality. I don't know why people are trashing it all day. The fact that his life and his family and his faith and his soon-to-be-born child, he's ranking above his profession. I don't think that that's outrageous. I think that that's a very healthy mentality, and I actually think that makes someone really dangerous because it doesn't impact them the way that it may impact somebody else if they lose. It does. It's not as all-consuming, and I think that actually makes their mentality a little bit more dangerous.
Everything you're saying is fair and probably right about, hey, we should all try our best to be healthy. As sports fans, it's a turnoff. It is.
I disagree.
No, you're right. It shouldn't be a turnoff. But for the masses, most sports fans take the incorrect approach of looking at players in any sport as players and not people. And the moment they show that they're people, we get turned off by it.
Really? Because I'm looking at it like, I don't care as much as you, and I'm still going to beat you. I have things that are more important to me than Jokic style, basically.
Jokic does the same thing.
There's some parallels there for sure. But I love that mentality. Oh, you are going to put in more hours out on the practice screens than I am. I'm going to hang out with my family, and I'm still going to beat you.
I don't like it, though. I don't like it. I mean, I guess a part of being a sports fan is that you wish you could do it like they could do it. You wish that it could mean as much to them as it means to you. And so I side with Pat on Evan on that one. I mean, I don't want to hear the guy say, yeah, golf is probably the fourth in my list of priorities. I don't want him to say that winning – I want my players to say winning isn't everything. It's the only thing. For Tiger Woods, for two decades, that was him. And that's why he was up on that perch. He wasn't necessarily the best father, best husband during that time, but he was the best golfer in the world. I don't need – my sports heroes to be well-adjusted when it comes to their personal life. I just need them to do everything that they possibly can to be great at that sport. It's a singular focus. It involves them being selfish-minded, and that's the type of mentality that I want my athletes to have, and that's why I'm skeptical about Scottie Scheffler being able to put together a run like Tiger Woods could. Like the 2000 season that Tiger Woods had, I was just going back and looking at it, was incredible. He had 9 tour wins, and he won the PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, and the Open Championship. otherwise known as the British Open. I know that Pat hates that, but yeah, like pretty that good. is pretty freaking good. So that's kind of the mindset that I want my athletes to have.
I mean, the star athlete should be like Smalls. I don't know an example of an elite, all-time, iconic, GOAT-like athlete that is like the mentality you just said.
Tom Brady sacrifices marriage to play football again.
I mean, LeBron James like spends millions of dollars on his body.
Like he retired, then he came back and played, and next thing you know, the Giselle is filing papers. Like, that happened.
And he's still considering a comeback. You know, like, he still can't let it go.
Happened.
He's still getting
like,
haircuts.
That's what I want. Like, Michael Jordan. Like,
my God.
Like, the guy had to retire a couple of times, and it just showed you, like, he had a lot of other stuff going on in his personal life. But on the basketball court, he was the greatest we'd ever seen.
I would say maybe Steph comes off as the most well-adjusted sports icon.
Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes
is a good one.
I mean, you always see him with his family. You never hear him saying that he puts – hold on. I want to make this clear. It's not like he minimizes football
no,
in any way.
No.
But you never hear him saying he puts that over his family.
No. No, that's a good one.
And maybe it's a different era. Back in our day, the Michaels, the Kobe's, the Brady's, Tigers.
Well, Tom Brady literally just retired.
So I mean, and Serena.
It's not that long ago.
Right, but I'm saying.
He may be back. You know.
Serena is arguably the greatest female tennis player, one of them along with Steffi Graf, that you've ever seen. And Serena had her family as she was done, right? Got married, had kids. She's like, I can't do both. I can either do one or the other.
Yeah.
And she's amazing at both, obviously. Successful businesses, the whole deal. But I don't even know that you can be well-adjusted to be that elite, at least back in our day. Next one, Pat.
I hope that the Knicks fans have a really bad time in the NBA playoffs. And I say that for no other reason than they're just getting way too confident way too fast.
I agree with you.
They are so annoying. And, like, congratulations. You had a good regular season. Nobody cares about the regular season. You're in the playoffs. That's where it matters. Literally, my only justification for this is that they're annoying and it would be funny. And that's enough for me.
Yeah, from a Philly fan who's notoriously not annoying, that fan base, not annoying at all.
The Knicks fan seems to be very loud right now.
Don't turn this on me, Michelle.
I'm sorry I had to, Pat. But they deserve to.
They're a likable team.
It's been a minute since they've been there. Allow them to celebrate this.
But it's 50 wins. It's not 60, and it's not a one seed, and they haven't done anything in the postseason yet. Do I think they could? Sure. Not if they play Philadelphia, I don't. They are a likable team. I think if you don't have a dog in the fight, you watch the Knicks play, you realize how hard they play, how smart they play.
It's fun to watch them play.
They are as likable of a team as you're going to have. The fan base needs to understand when you're actually this good, you need to now have playoff expectations. You can't just be satisfied with the 50 wins.
Yeah, but you have an all-NBA caliber player in Julius Randle that's on the shelf.
That is true, too.
So, I mean, that's hard to overcome. Any team that has to deal with that type of absence, you're going to have to temper the expectations no matter what the record is, no matter what the seeding is. So I'm not going to go as far as to say that, you know, the Knicks season doesn't matter, because it does. It's been a long time since this franchise has been able to be functional. Think about it. Last year was the first time they won a playoff series in a decade.
They've had two playoff appearances in a decade.
And so I guess my whole point is, when you're trying to change the perception about who you are in NBA circles to attract players that want out of their current situation, you have to put together seasons like this, even if you have key players being injured. So it's not as if what the Knicks have done all year long hasn't mattered, even if it does end up with an earlier than expected playoff loss.
Yeah, so let the fans enjoy that, Pat.
But listen to what you just did. You just talked about the offseason. Meaning, you're not looking at this postseason as championship expectations.
They're not going to win a title.
I agree. So then let's pipe down, Knicks fans. That's what Pat is saying. You're not going to win a title. You've created the culture where Donovan Mitchell may say, I want to go there.
Well,
congratulations.
I don't think they should get the t-shirt and say we're happy to be here either. Like, I think they should want to be in the playoffs and want to make some noise and disrupt. Like, it'd be disappointing if the Knicks lost in the first round, even if they do play the 76ers. Like, this is a situation where we should at least win one playoff series, and based on who we play in the second round, maybe get greedy and get two.
Oh, the second round may be easier than the first round.
But that's my point.
Yeah.
So if you're a Knicks fan, like, that's what you're hoping on. You could ride the way that Jalen Brunson has played the last month and a half of basketball. Defensively, they can hang with anybody in the league. Like, if you can do all of those things, then maybe, just maybe, you can catch an opponent slipping in the first round. Maybe the Sixers aren't at their best. Maybe Embiid is dealing with some health things. Whatever. I don't think this is a scenario, Pat, where the Knicks fans should just be happy to be here.
Next one.
For years, I've been on the side of wanting a dog, and I've always thought cat people were weird. I think I want a cat, guys.
Oh, God.
Pat, you're a cat guy for sure.
Oh,
I've never had one, and I don't know what goes into them, but like they seem pretty chill. They seem kind of like tame, you know, pretty easy going.
With your lifestyle, Pat, I think a cat is much more low maintenance, and that's the play for you. I am a dog person, not a cat person, but you get up really early. You're at work a lot. I think a cat might be a good entry point as far as pet ownership is concerned.
Can you explain the differences? I don't understand cat people. Yeah, I don't understand cat people. I think cats are disgusting.
They go to the bathroom in your house.
Cats are disgusting to me.
Well, so do dogs, but not intentionally.
No, they don't. They're trained to go outside.
They're not supposed to, but they do.
I'm like grossed out by this now.
Cat by cats?
Everywhere. You're grossed out by cats?
Yeah, oh, cats so grossed out by
them. I don't like cats either, but I'm not physically grossed out by them.
Yeah, I'm not an animal person.
Cats are disgusting to me. I mean, if you're gonna have a pet, have a dog.
I don't like how you have to work for their love, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.